Ready?
Let's do that.
Okay, so. You can share. So anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I've begun in how many of you have a Bible app on your phone or something to that, whatever kind of device you use? Yeah, a lot of us here use YouVersion. I don't know what y'all use. But YouVersion is pretty good because it has some reading plans. You know, you can do the 30-day, you can do the Bible in a year plan. You can do different topics, different studies to get through the Bible and to learn some things, to get some foundational truth. And the thing that I really like about it is because I don't always have time to sit down and read, like I used to really be diligent about making that kind of time and reading through, I've used what's called Dr. Horner's Bible Plan. And it was published, man, probably about the 1970s. I don't know when it originated, but it was published in the 1970s. Remember the little, some of you might remember the little chick tracts?
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
chick tracts and the chick comic books. Yeah. Well, he put it in one of the books, and it was Dr. Horner's Bible reading plan. And basically, you read, I want to say, 10 chapters a day, and it's several in the old and several in the new, plus every day you're reading a psalm and a chapter of Proverbs. And so you go one each chapter, and then you get to the end of a book, you start the next book, and then you just keep on repeating this cycle. And it takes about 250 days, and you've read through the entire Bible. I'm about 13 days behind from when I started it again, but I listened to it. Because it's got on the, like, several of the versions in YouVersion have the audio capability, so you could listen to it. You know, put on your earbuds when you're, you know, if you're one of those fortunate enough to go to work out, or if you're driving in your car, or you have some time, listen to half of it in the morning and the other half at night, you know, in the evening, whatever. Do it as a couple. Just pick one of the Bible reading plans on that app. And I know a couple of you have already done that. You've signed up and done a few because we're friends on YouVersion and we see us doing these things together. So I was listening last week and it got to to Matthew chapter 6 and got into the Lord's Prayer. And as we're kind of getting into the back to the basics, right? In our walk with God, as we've come into a new place, a new area for the Vineyard Church of the Peninsula. In essence, starting over, starting fresh, getting back to the foundational truths, getting back to what it means to be a believer, to be a disciple, looking for the Holy Spirit, looking for the kingdom to come. And this, the Lord's Prayer, is just one of those foundational things. So I wrote something here that I'm going to read, and then we'll get into the Lord's Prayer. The title is Communication, Talking with God or the Creator Hearing the Created. Some things are important for us to be able to navigate our way here on earth as we choose to live within the kingdom of God. Learning the teachings of Jesus in particular and of the Bible in general, or living out the various aspects of discipline like worship, meditation, solitude, and fasting, among others, and fellowshipping with other believers are the fundamentals, the basics, the foundational truths of becoming and being kingdom people. There's certain disciplines that have been around forever, and Tammy and I were talking about going through the book by Richard Foster, Celebration of Discipline, and we were going through it with a small group years ago, and there were those that had trouble with the section on meditation, because back in the day of, you know, the Beatles and the Stones, and that when transcendental meditation was coming out and becoming really big, it left a bad taste for a lot of people. And so Christians that would look at this idea of meditation, it was a negative thing. But it's a biblical, meditating is biblical. And it's something that covers, you know, it's in a lot of different faiths. It's in, you know, several religions have it, but it's one that we should have a lock on. And when we meditate, it's coming to the center. It's coming to a place where we're centered in the middle, the media, the center part where we just come before God and we sit and we're quiet and we listen. We pick His word. In other religions, people had a hard time because they would pick the mantra. You know, it was the Owa, Tagu, Siam. And they would say that mantra over and over. Owa, Tagu, Siam.
No.
Owa, Tagu, Siam.
No.
So,
no, don't say it.
You know, so for us as believers, we pick, you know, maybe there's a particular verse. You know, like the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And you focus on that. And that becomes your meditation. You meditate. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. So even the psalmist knew. So meditating, being in a place of solitude, being alone with God, and that's my most comfortable place is being alone. You know, growing up without any siblings, I loved it. You know, and being alone, I am just comfortable. I work by myself a lot. It's less frustrating to not be around people. So I need to work on that part of life, fellowshipping and being around people. But one item left off of this list of examples is perhaps the top priority in our life, or maybe it ought to be, the discipline of prayer. Communication with God. Prayer isn't just talking. It isn't just us talking to God. It's talking with God. It's communication. It's a conversation. You know, sure, we come to Him and we pour out our troubles. You know, we all have our friends that, you know, we get with, and all they do, you can't get an edge, you know, word in edgewise. And I think I might be that friend sometimes where I ramble on. But I think it's because I spend so much time alone. I don't have anybody else to talk to. And maybe that's... Well, anyway, prayer is talking and listening. It's listening to God. What does He have to say in response? As we pour out our needs and our concerns, our desires, our failings, our sin... We don't just say, blah, here it is, and then get up and walk away. We're supposed to stop and listen for a response. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do we do about it? If we're asking Him for wisdom, do we just say, oh, Lord, give me wisdom, bye? We have to stop and wait and say, okay, where's this wisdom that I've asked for? Give me direction, Lord. I need direction. And then move on our, and that's what we do a lot of times. We move on our merry way. We ask and then we say bye. So it's a communication. There's a lot of listening involved in prayer. It isn't just us talking. It's listening. That said, we have to start somewhere. So how do we pray? How do we communicate with God? And Jesus started with a lot of the asking in this prayer, and it's not really the Lord's Prayer. I've heard it say that it's our prayer because it's His instruction to us as far as how to pray. And as Jesus was teaching His disciples, one of them became rather bold and said, can you teach us how to pray? Will you teach us how to pray? Because they obviously saw Him doing it. The disciples saw Jesus pray, and they saw, you know, they grew up around prayer. They grew up around the men, around the synagogue and at the temple, and that whole, the Jewish life, and, you know, as well as the pagan life. And they saw people praying to God and praying to their different gods. And they saw this, you know, the genuflecting and the prayer shawl and all these different things that they did. But they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Yeah. You're different. How you cry out to the Father, what you say to Him, how you talk to Him, mm-hmm. where you go, mm-hmm. what you do. Yeah. It's different. Yeah. teach us how to pray. And so he gave them a direct, simple, but powerful example, an object lesson in how to pray. He gave us an outline. It's an outline of how we're to pray, how we approach God, the things that we are to communicate with him about, to ask him about. We pray for, we give him glory. We pray for ourselves. We ask for forgiveness. We forgive others. And then we say, Lord, your will be done. There's this progression in this prayer. And so I've given it to y'all in the King James Version, because those of us who are of the more silver-aged club maybe remember it in the King James Version a little more. Or if we've done high church, you know, we've grown up around it, we've memorized it, it's been the King James Version. And if you go to a Roman Catholic church or Lutheran or Baptist, you know, a lot of the older denominations, you're going to hear it, right? Predominantly in the King James Version. And I think this is the way we can be unified as we read this together. And then I was going to ask if any of you might be so bold after we're done with this, if you have a different version, you know, paper version or, you know, newfangled digital version on your phone or other electronic device, if you would be so kind maybe as to read that as we're done, just so we can hear the different wordings. You know, I know Don likes the Message quite a bit. I'd like the NASB. That's my favorite. What do you, Tammy? The Children's Bible, the one with the pictures. She uses that a lot.
I tend to read the New King James.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, others may do the NIV, you know, the World Book Encyclopedia, or something like that. So anyway, so here we go, the Lord's Prayer, verse 9. Ready? Okay. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, read along. Aloud. Don't just read along, read aloud. I'm sorry for not giving that direction. Yeah, that's what you're all like. Okay.
This is high church.
I can't.
This is high church.
Okay, so, you know, I've spent a lot of time. We all have the Bible app on our phones and that sort of thing. I happen to use the New Version.
Over?
Yeah, you said start over.
Not the New Version.
So, oh, okay. So, okay. So, after this manner, therefore, pray. Here we go. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 6,
9
to 12.
Mm-hmm. Can we read another version?
Sure. Would you?
I picked out this one because I got the Bible Hub. It is this Christian Standard Version. And it goes, whenever you pray, you must not... Oh, wait a minute. Did I get this? No, I'm on the wrong one. Matthew. Therefore, you should pray like this. Probably in the same way. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Yeah, in some versions, that last part, yeah. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In some versions, it's not in there. Mm-hmm. That was in an addendum, because in some manuscripts, it's found, and in others, it's not, you know, as they've gone through and translated the Bible. So there's kind of an argument as to whether or not it was definitely in the original text, or if Matthew actually had that in his... And I tend to believe it was there. It definitely fits, you know. So, anybody have another version?
Well, I have the Message.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh, imagine that.
So, verse 9, this is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply, like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. Wow.
Wow.
Anybody else have one?
That's a pretty liberal translation.
I know.
Yeah. A lot of freedom there, huh? Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Anybody else? Tanner? No?
Yeah, I have the New Living Translation.
Well, that's, yeah. That's good.
Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I'm bringing one up here because y'all ain't reading the one I want you to read. We already did the message, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course we did. That was
of course.
So. All right. This is like one of those versions that. When you're a young Christian and you want to impress everybody because it's like the thickest version that there is because it has more words than any other version on there, the Amplified version. I just love that one because it's like, it gets like every...
nuance.
It's crazy, yeah. But when you pray, go into your most private room and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. Oh, wait a minute. I went to the wrong one. Here we go. Pray therefore like this. I did just like Horace. Pray therefore like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, kept holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven or left, remitted, and let go of the debts, and have given up resentment against our debtors.
All right.
And lead, or bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See, there's only one amen. But that means yes, 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 right?
Of course.
Of course. Okay. So, you know, we've probably all heard studies on the Lord's Prayer over the course of our time, being believers, being disciples, following Jesus. We've all heard a lot of teachings about how we address God. He is our Father. He's our Father. So when we approach Him, we can approach Him like that. Tammy and I were in a store.
Mm-hmm. Walmart, or, I think.
Yeah, it was in a Walmart, and there was a man there who had the yarmulke on, and a little boy, one of the cutest little boys I think you'd ever see, except for maybe Nick. Yeah. Or Max. Don't want no competition, no fights. or me. But he came up to his father, and he was excited about something that was on display, probably a toy, but he just said, Abba, Abba, which means daddy in Hebrew. And to hear it played out in real life right there, and just the freedom that he had to address his daddy in public like that, innocently, as he pointed at something that he obviously wanted to have, just meant a lot to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, Abba, Abba. And unless he was asking to hear that Swedish band from the 1970s. I don't know. Dancing Queen.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, so anyway. But our Father. So we can come to Him and we can say, Abba, Abba. As it says elsewhere in the Bible. You know, Abba, Father. Hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Your name. His is the most holy. And holy means separate. There is no other. There's no other God. There's no other name. So your kingdom come. Not the kingdom of man. Not our own personal kingdom and our own personal... But his kingdom. Say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Your will be done. So as we pray, we have to keep that in mind continually. Lord, your will be done. You know, as Tammy and I look at homes, and as we look for lending options, as we reach out and do these things, not to have our hopes raised too highly. And not to say, oh, this is it right here. But to wait and to say, okay, Lord, is there something better? Is there something different? We don't want to, do we sign this or not? We wait. And then at some point we need to step out in faith. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember the teaching on being in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? That it's here. It's here now. We may not always see it in every aspect of our life. You know, we pray for a healing, but we don't see a healing. Herb is healed now, completely and totally healed. You know, for a few weeks with Gregory and his mom, you know, praying for her to be healed. We pray for one another to be healed. And we may see some level. We may see a complete and total miraculous, wow, the tumor is gone. Or we may see the surgeon's hand and we may see the body, you know, in a speedy recovery. Or we may pray and pray and pray, and it may not be until the ultimate healing when the person receives the new body, the glorified body. So on earth as it is in heaven, the daily bread, 3 squares. Better is a bowl of beans and quietness with it than a house full of feasting and strife. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go out and have the big, you know, 7-course meal. I was talking with one of the guys at work about going to, was it the Four Queens? Was that the restaurant? Or was it in the Four Queens? I can't remember the name of the restaurant. Four Queens. But it was remember down there in Las Vegas? I think it was the Four Queens. And you go in there, and it's like you have your own personal waiter and your own personal bus service, and they're at your beck and call, and there's like 6 or 7 courses, and, you know, if you drop something, they're right there. If you need a clean napkin, they're right there. It's expensive. You know, I mean, we're talking back in 89, it was like 120 or 130 a person. And then if you get drinks, it's more, you know, so you can spend a lot of money at that place. But better is a bowl of beans and quietness with it than a house full of feasting and strife. We don't need to have, you know, the 2 lobster tails and the prime rib and all the other trimmings that might go with it. Right?
No, we didn't.
Preaching the
medley. Yeah. So we don't have to have that. We can have something. We don't have to be rich. Be poor. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our transgressions. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, that's the thing right there. Unless we forgive others, he doesn't forgive us. He's willing. We have to be willing to forgive those that have done bad to us. You know, consider where they're just frail human beings too. They're weak, weak-willed, without strength, sometimes walking against God. They're just like us. So we forgive them. We don't necessarily forget, but when we remember, we forgive them again and again. And we keep on offering, just, Lord, I forgive them. I offer that up to you. I don't want to let bitterness grow. Lead us not into temptation. Remember, Jesus was led out into the wilderness for 40 days. And I know we were talking about Lent last night. Tammy, Mom, and I were talking a little bit about Lent. And some of us do that. You know, we participate in that giving up of something that's important to us for the 40 days, beginning on that Ash Wednesday. And we do that up until what is it, Good Friday, and then there's, you know, the Easter and then the resurrection. It's all this leading up to, and they do it a lot again in high church. So this, lead us not into temptation. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil because he had no sin nature. So he had to be put into this place. We have a sin nature, and God knows it. And he doesn't take us into a place where we're going to be tempted beyond what we can handle. It feels like it sometimes. Like, I can't handle this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a minute, you're the one that took the step over there. You know, I'm the one that did it. You know, there was nobody holding my, you know, a gun to my head. I just did it of my own free will, my own volition. I did it. I confess it. I'll lead myself into temptation. Thank you very much. He won't do it. So, and then deliver us from evil, like the evil one. His is the kingdom. It's his kingdom. It's his power. It's his glory. So as we come to this place of being in the basics, in our walk with God, and in being a church, starting fresh, starting anew, living room worship, there's freedom. And I stopped during worship for a moment, and I was going to say, you know, there's freedom here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And if any of you have anything to share, go ahead. And then Tammy just kind of stepped out and did it. And I was like, yeah, okay, good. Glad I don't have to say anything. But I'm saying it now, just so y'all know, there's freedom.
Yes.
You know, during worship, you know, at that point you can speak it out. If there's a point where you need to share something, you know, we come just like it was in the ancient times, where one has a word of knowledge. You know, one has a prophecy, one has a word from the scripture, a teaching. We come and we all have a part to play. So that's where we are.
You know, just briefly on that, as we were reading through the Lord's Prayer, on verse 13, where it says, "For thine is the kingdom," boy, thine just went pow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it was like the kind of the declaration, thine is the kingdom.
Yeah.
The kingdom is yours, Jesus. It's yours. The kingdom is yours, and the power is yours, and the glory is yours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter what we read, no matter what we see, no matter what, you know, it's his. So, you know, that's not an insignificant statement. It's like, for thine is the kingdom. Bang! You know?
And his kingdom supersedes, goes above and beyond all, you know, as the nations gather together in South Korea,
yeah,
in Korea, they, all the different ideas, all the different ideologies and kingdoms and politics, his ways are so much higher and so much better, even though he's the one that, you know,
his
put them in that place. So, and that word, like you said, that word thine,
yeah,
there's something about that old English, and I, you know, not like, what is it, the 800, not that old English, but the, you know, the Shakespeare, Elizabethan kind of these and thou. Sometimes it really fits in a poetic way.
Yes.
You know. So. Well, the doxology is something that's been introduced in the Vineyard movement. A few years back, we started doing it quite a bit in our worship leader retreats. I don't know if you guys, when you go to the conferences, if you all do it sometimes.
Rarely.
We do it almost every service, every worship time. And it's just a cool way to end a time in worship. And everybody, you know, there knows it. It's another one of those things that comes from high church, you know, from the major denominations that do this. And the most difficult part for me are the amens. Yeah, because there's so many different ways to do to do the amens. And if whoever you listen to does. So I implore Sue, or those of you who come from that background, to really sing out your amen when we get to that part.
I only know one amen. You got four down here. I don't know four amen.
Well, do that once the four times then. Just really mean it. By the time you get to the fourth amen, you should really mean it. Sing it like you mean it.
Amen.
So, and there's a method to the madness, which we'll get into in the weeks or months to come. So, Tanya, will you help me out here?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Then we could do the sevenfold amen, right? I mean, how many are there?
Oh. Unlimited 12s.
There's 12?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 12-step amen for those who are going through the program. So, yeah, I think we do like three or four. Yeah, we do four. So, yeah, our buddy Dan Wilt has been the one that's introduced a lot of that stuff. And, so we may do the doxology every so often, if that would be all right with y'all.
That is.
Yeah.
I'll bring you a copy of the four in amens.
Okay. Please do. I've got it somewhere in one of those worship hymnals. What was the one that they made us get?
Oh, yeah.
For school. It's got, like, all of the different amens. That... Anyway. Well, God bless you all.
God bless you.
I really encourage you to do one of those Bible programs on your phone or your tablet. Download the app and then look for a Bible reading program or a Bible study program within the... They're listed there. On the YouVersion, it's easy to find, huh? Mm-hmm. And then pick one and then just listen to it. If you don't have time to read it, just listen to it.
So, UVerse is...
UVersion.
What is the...